into a verse in Psalm 142, verse 4 of Psalm 142. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And now, in Luke 14, verse 16, Luke 14 and 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And then in Luke 15, the next chapter, verse 20, Luke 15 and 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then the following chapter in Luke 16, verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I asked the choir to sing, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Here we find the psalmist there saying, No man cared for my soul. It is true that we could probably say that today, some of us, that no man may be caring for our soul, but Jesus does. And I believe that we in Spanish Wells, above all people in this world, if any of us should end up in eternity away from Christ, we can say in eternity, no man cared for my soul, but Jesus did. Because we know the way, we have learned the way, and I want tonight to speak and show you five impossibilities and three great things. Five impossibilities that we could say, no man cared for my soul. And these we find in the Great Supper. We find heaven at its gladness there. Heaven at its gladness when all the saints will be called in to join there in a great feast. And then we find in the prodigal a great way off. We find earth at its sadness. Because that is what the sinner is today. A great way off. But Jesus is still looking out. Looking out for him to come. And then we find in a great gulf fix, we find hell at its madness. Hell at its madness. There's going to be a great gulf fix between us and those who go to eternity away from Christ. But beloved, there is only one way, only one thing that will bar you from entering into heaven. And the greatest sin that bars anyone from entering into heaven today is unbelief. Unbelief. The unbelievers, they will be there too. A girl was walking home one evening with her father and the evangelist. He had spoken to her for many nights and he had asked her to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And she kept putting it off. She kept putting it off. And he told her that unbelief would carry her into eternity. And as they walked along, they saw a group of women who were drunk and disgracing themselves. And he turned to the woman and he said, How would you like to spend eternity with those? And she says, I wouldn't like it at all. He says, Well, that's where you're going in your unbelief. Unbelief will carry you there. Jesus cares for you. She's got the message and she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to draw your attention to these five impossibilities tonight. You needn't turn to them. I will read them. First one is in Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. There we have the impossibility of evading sinnership. We can't get out of it. God says we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he says there is not a just one on the earth. The only just one that ever was here has gone back home to be with him. And so there is that impossibility of getting away from the fact that you're a sinner. When you say you're not sinning, you call God a liar. And God is not a liar. He knows, and he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is why Jesus went across the cross. He went there to die for our sins. He went there to blot out the law. He went there to give us grace and mercy, which we have today, and to bring us to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He nailed that law there to the cross when he went there. And the second impossibility, too, we get in Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Impossibility of emancipating ourselves. Emancipate means to set free from bondage, to liberate, to set free. Sin had us bonded in sin. We were bonded in sin. And Jesus said, when we were yet without strength, when we were in a position that we could do nothing for ourselves, we could not save ourselves, we could not lift ourselves up from the pit we were in, Jesus Christ came down from above to die for our sins that we might have everlasting life. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. The thief on the cross was nailed to a cross. There was nothing he can do. There was nothing he could do to liberate himself from that cross. But there was one thing he could do. He could give his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he did. He acknowledged him. He acknowledged him there on the cross and asked him for his forgiveness, and Jesus gave him that forgiveness. And we were and are today physically, mentally, and spiritually without strength. We do not have any strength to help us to save ourselves. We must acknowledge our weakness. And then when we acknowledge how weak we are and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he stands there with open arms to receive us, each and every one of us. And thirdly now, in Revelations 21 and 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So, if you don't want to come the way Jesus has opened up for you, there'll be an impossibility of you ever entering heaven. You will never enter heaven. There's only one way to enter heaven, and that is to come and acknowledge yourself as a sinner before a holy God, and he will give you that salvation that you want. You can't get to heaven any other way. The thief on the cross couldn't do any works. He couldn't do anything to earn his salvation. Like the man who came to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? All the doing was over. Jesus did it at Calvary. And he did it for us, and we have to accept that is the means of our salvation. And when we come to know him, then we can enter heaven. One little sin will keep us out of heaven. One little sin. And one little sin cost us to be sinners. Just one sin of disobedience. And God, one sin of neglecting to take Jesus Christ as your Savior and acknowledge yourself as a sinner before God will keep you out of heaven. And then, fourthly, Hebrews 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. There's the impossibility of escaping. Do not think that you will ever escape God's judgment. He says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's for both sinner and saint. There is a judgment for both of us, one for rewards, and the other is a judgment to send us away for punishment, those of us who will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he says there is an impossibility to escape this. You can't get around it. God knows every one of us. He knows what we are, where we are, what we're doing. And he knows whether we love him, and he knows whether we're trying to live for him. He knows everything about us. The psalmist could say that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knew everything about him. And he knows whether we have trusted him. We cannot say on that day, I trusted thee. Oh, no. You don't trust him. He knows that day when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will have that name written in a book of life. And if that name is not there, then there is no possibility of you entering heaven, and no possibility of you escaping the judgment which shall come upon you. And then the fifth impossibility is in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Impossibility of being rejected. There's the impossibility of being rejected by God. God will not turn anyone away. He will not. I remember a story I read of a young boy, 17 years old, working in a factory in New Zealand. And the superintendent of that factory was a man of God, and he was speaking to this boy about his soul. And he gave him a tract one day, The Way of Salvation, and asked him to read it. At the end of the tract, it had there the decision that you make. And this young man read it, and then after days, he came back with the tract to the man. And he said, I've filled it in, here it is. And this is what he wrote. I have decided this day that I will not trust Jesus Christ as my Savior or believe in any God. Signed his name, the date, and the date of his age. The man took it. When he looked at it, he began to shake that anyone could do this. He knew that God existed, and he had decided against God. And you know, that very night, he brought that in. He went out with a crowd of people, and driving in the car and driving home, this big black thing appeared in the road, and he ran the car into it, and he killed himself. It was a black cow walking across the road. He had decided against Jesus Christ. He had rejected him. He had rejected him. But Jesus Christ still loved him in his rejection, but now he will judge him because he has gone out of this world rejecting him. If you continue to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will go out of this world and go into an eternity. And he will reject you for all eternity. You will be there, rejected by him. So, there we see the five impossibilities. Impossibility of evading sinnership. Impossibility of emancipating ourselves. The impossibility of entering heaven. The impossibility of escaping judgment. And the impossibility of being rejected. Now can you say, no man cared for my soul? Jesus cares. Jesus cares for your soul. He has come down here. He left heaven's heights to come down here to die for you. He did not have to come for any other purpose. He did not have to visit this earth for any purpose except to carry out what God had said to Adam, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And Jesus came to do exactly that, to bruise the head of the serpent and make salvation possible for all of us. Yes, it is utterly impossible for us to say today that no man even cared for my soul. We can't say like the psalmist, because there are any number of men today who care for your soul. There are men who went into the prayer meeting there before this meeting tonight, and they prayed for you, and some of you, they prayed by name for you and have been praying for time for you. Why? Because they're concerned about your soul more than you are. And if you don't get a little bit concerned, I'm telling you, it's going to be too late. It's not going to be like Noah. The door is not going to be shut 7 days before the judgment falls. The judgment will fall for you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When God's people are taken out of this world and we're taken away, then you will be left here and you know what your judgment will be. If you're left there in Spanish Wells and you see, wake up one morning and you see us gone, you can count on where you're going. You will know then where you're going. And you'll know then that Jesus Christ has rejected you for all eternity because you did not see fit to believe in Him. It is so simple to be saved. That's why so many do not get saved, I believe, because of the simplicity of it. It's hard to believe that it's so simple, but you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ if you want salvation. There's no other way, no other way that you can come. The Father God of this universe, He cared for our souls. He was the first one to care for our soul, and He saw to it that He made a way of escape. After man sinned, He cared for us so much that from the very day that sin was committed, He had already, in the eternity past, decided that Jesus was coming to die for this world. It wasn't decided the day Adam sinned. In the past eternities, before He created us, God made the way of escape for us in the person of His Son. His Son, then we see His Son cared for us. He went to Calvary. He went to Calvary there and paid that debt we owed. We can say, those of us who have come to know Him, He loved me and gave Himself for me. And if you're in here tonight and you haven't trusted Him, He gave Himself for you too. He is pleading with you tonight. Have you never heard Him speak to you? Has your conscience ever never convicted you that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior? Has your conscience ever never shown you Jesus Christ there on the cross, dying in your room and in your stead, suffering for you? No one else. He didn't have to suffer for Himself. He was the only perfect man. He is the only man in the glory today because of His perfection. He is in the glory today, the only man. Yes, He cared. He cared enough to leave heaven's heights to come down here and to go all the way to Calvary. He went to die for us. And then the disciples cared for our souls too. The disciples passed on to us the information we have about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that walked with Him. Those that spent time with Him, and they could write like John. The one who is writing this, John says, knows what he's writing because he was there present when these things happened. And we have this certification of our Lord's work while He was there. The disciples cared for our souls. They left this testimony of His that we might know Him. Although we've never seen Him like them, that we might know Him. And I believe we today know Him better than the disciples did. When we come to know Him, we can get to know Him even better than them because of what has been left to us in this book. We can get to know Him real good. And then those who are out preaching the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ, they care for your souls. Many have given up all, everything. Many have given up careers that they could have had, renounced them and gone out to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they cared for the lost souls out there. And they heard the message from the Savior saying, go, go and reap that harvest which I have out there for you to reap. Yes, the disciples cared, and we care too. We care because we are now warning you tonight too that there is no way of escape. Impossibility of escaping. There is no way that you will get into heaven or escape judgment into hell if you turn the Lord Jesus Christ down as your Savior. You've seen the impossibility of being rejected too. Oh, we won't reject you. He stands with open arms. Come unto me, he says. He's still saying that tonight. Come unto me. Won't you come tonight if you're out there? Oh, we want to see Spanish wealth come to know Christ. God has blessed you so good. God has poured out heaven's blessings upon you. He has been everything that he could be to you. And all he asks of you to do to give him back is your heart. Come to him and give him your heart for all that he's done for you. And then your family and friends, they care for you tonight too. Your family and friends, they pray for your soul. Every day, that father or that mother is praying for the soul of that daughter or son out there. And then your friends are praying too. Praying that you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we praying? Because if you ever know how long hell is going to be, tell me. Because in millions and billions of years, scientists talk about the earth was in existence billions of years before now. What about eternity? Eternity suffering under the wrath of God for billions of years. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and he suffered the wrath of God for your sins so that you could miss this. And you stand tonight and say, I reject him. I turn him down. When you go out of here after you hear the gospel and say no to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are rejecting him. You are turning your back on him. And he wants to save you. Now what about it? Can you still say no one ever cared for my soul? After these words, can you still say it? I tell you there's only one answer to it. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer for the world today. Christ is the only one that can rule this world in righteousness the way it should come and go. And today can either be a day of tragedy for you or it can be a day of triumph in your life. A day of tragedy. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But the next verse to it says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Two verses. First verse speaks of tragedy, and the next verse gives us triumph. Triumph. If we come and receive him, we will triumph over Satan. We will triumph over death and hell only by receiving him. John 14 and 6 says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you come, he says, I will in no wise cast you out. Can you be rejected? No, he'll not cast you out. He won't cast you out. In the great supper, you know, God opens to us there the provisions of his house. But the invited guests being begin all to make excuses. They make excuses that they cannot come. I've bought a field. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have married a wife. I never heard a wife yet that wouldn't be ready to go to a great supper and get out of doing it herself. I know these excuses are flimsy, But their excuses, their possessions, their relations upon which they had entered, these in themselves are not evil. What they are, they turned down and said they would not come. These in themselves are not evil. But the fact that they gave these excuses, we are the businessman's excuse. What? He bought a piece of ground. His wealth kept him away from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the working man's excuse. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Bought oxen and never tried them. They're not like businessmen today. My work, his wealth, his work kept him away. Then we have the family man's excuse, my wife. That's the worst one of all, because I don't believe that one at all. But I'll tell you what. Queen Elizabeth II was to be crowned. She sent out the invitations to those chosen to be present for that occasion. Peers of the realm, members of her government, and representatives of the common people. She sent them to all. And every invitation bore the same closing statement. All excuses ceasing. For when royalty issues an invitation, it is no ordinary matter. It is a command. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ has given out an invitation to come and trust him as the Savior. And he has put the same thing at the end of it. All excuses ceasing. No more excuses. I don't want to hear them, he says. The Lord's gospel tonight is an invitation. It's a command. And you go out of here making excuses why you will not come. Don't make any more. Don't make any more. And then we see the great way off. We see the Father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Not a word of the confession intended had been uttered. He didn't utter a word. But you know what? The rebellious son said 2 prayers. When he was going away, he said, Father, give me. But when he came home, he said, Father, make me. Oh, what a difference. When he went away into sin, Father, give me. Let me have what I want to have and do what I want to do. But when he acknowledged his sin, he says, make me. Use me. What a different prayer. We want you to pray that tonight. Father, make me. Make me to be one of thine own. I'm a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. You know, the psalmist said, I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and so thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Yes, don't be like the other son, the religious one. And we are religious in Spanish Wells because we know the word of God like no other people under the sun, I believe. He would not go in. Because one day Jesus will say to you, I would, but ye would not. Jesus will give you the answer. And then the Father gives no stipulation as to the future. No reproof for the past. No condition to this free forgiveness. Only believe. Only believe and then surrender your life. That's all you have to do. That's all you must do. Come to him. Only believe. And then the last one. The great way off. The great gulf fixed. Oh, there is a great gulf fixed between you and those who go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great gulf fixed. And someday, you know, if you don't trust him, you will be there suffering. And you will see into heaven as this sinner did when he saw Father Abraham. There must be the possibility of being able to see into the glory and see what's going on. And this in itself will make it a hell for you to be in torment there and seeing those in the glory enjoying themselves as they did. Oh, yes. There's hope now. There is hope if you will come now. If you will trust Him now, there is hope. But if you don't trust Him, He will reject you in eternity. Oh, there's no crossing over. There's no mingling in eternity. You won't be able to see those loved ones anymore, not to have fellowship with them, not even for a moment. And there's no hope of your condition changing either. And I ask you, come today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. He wants to save you. Yes, He does care for your soul. We care for your soul. We plead with you. Don't put Him off. Jesus is coming. I warn you, Jesus is coming. This is Israel's 40th year. She will enter in May. And the 40th year in Israel brings troubles and tribulations. And oh, could it be possible that on the 14th of May that Israel will be in the tribulation period? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it is possible for it to happen, because it will be 40 years and the generation will have passed away that Jesus spoke about. And He said, that generation shall not pass away before I shall come. If you're outside of Christ and you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, give it tonight. I pray for God's sake. Trust Him. Give Him your heart. He'll save you. He won't turn you away. Impossibility of being rejected once you come. Thank you. Let us close in singing. I want you to learn this hymn. It's so sweet. Up the shore in Eleuther, they sing it, number 214. Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to Him as our love. Softly whispers, wherever thou art, gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. In the second verse, we find the Savior asking you. In the third verse, we find the Spirit. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are asking you tonight to give Him your heart. Let's sing it, and let's mean it too. Number 214.